Weekend.
Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith with Joey Reynolds as we continue on. Joey.
Well, we're talking about marijuana. The medical value of it is definitely here. And, the thing that I did was I followed the music trail. I went to San Francisco, and then I even came across here to Woodstock. And I put together the music portion of what it was for me, because in the 60s, that's what drove me into marijuana, to smoking pot. It was the Beatles, frankly. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, but it became illegal and people were going to jail because of the way they were dealing with it. And it was considered to be a gateway drug to other drugs. It's been said, and even on the documentary by someone, that it's growing in the ground and pharmaceuticals are not. Also, I interview on the thing the father of Gateway to Health, who is Werner. He's from Harvard, lives in San Francisco, and wrote famously about the value of the medical marijuana. Now, the medical marijuana, there is a wonderful little company here that I want to plug them a little bit. They don't have the product in the market anyway, so we're not doing this for money. But there's a company here that I got to do some more, and I want to put this in my video, although it's already shot. The company's called Sensory Solutions, and what they've come up with, that smokeless cigarette stuff.
Yeah.
See, I don't smoke. I haven't smoked. I haven't drank. I haven't done any of that in 40 years. I don't care about any of that anymore. And I'm healthy, thank God. I did Bikram yoga. I don't care about smoking. But the smokeless addiction, where people are smoking cigarettes that don't have tobacco in them. And these guys have come up with the smokeless solution, which is to put this marijuana in there without the high, so that it works for those who really need it. Because they say there's some great healing for... and I'm not making a medical claim, and I want to make that clear because I don't know this, but they claim that there's a great little relief for Alzheimer's people and for which Carl knows a lot about a lot about medicine.
Yes,
and you've worked in. I don't know how much you tell the audience about. How
no,
much
but
you work,
they're
you've done a lot of work.
Done
in
a lot of work with Parkinson's and with geriatric right. work.
I was trying to not say it. Because
no, that's
it's up
okay.
to you to say.
But
it's
I will tell you this: that you're absolutely correct. There is ongoing research now that the marijuana in any derivative form has beneficial effects across the board. They just haven't gotten deep enough in the research to find out how far that goes. But particularly for Parkinson's, for early stage dementia and so on, it apparently has some side medical effects. I use the word side. Sidecast medical.
So in many ways, it's become that gateway drug to a medical positiveness.
Correct.
That they never even thought of before.
And that's why they're now looking at putting it in pill form, condensing it into pill form and so on and so forth for that very, very, very purpose.
Well, I have a lot of fun with this documentary. I say, on the side of cigarettes, it says, all right, can cause cancer, but it can also cure it. Which way are we going to go with it?
I want to say one thing about your documentary. I looked at the presentation reel, which is wonderful. And I presented it to Roland, and he loved it as well. One of the things that you do say in there, without saying it in so many words, is that this particular medical marijuana has some wonderful effects. But what it has done for you in your journey and in your daughter's journey, there is a wonderful story there about the changing in America, the ability to be able to find our path. Your daughter has found hers, you found yours outside of this, but you come together in a very interesting way through medical marijuana. That's what your sizzle reel says.
Well, it's tough. You go in her garage, she's growing pot, and she's got a 19-month-old baby, and I'm grandfather, and she won't let the baby in the garage, of course. I don't know why. I said, what's the difference? You don't know. But, our society has got these pilgrim-like beliefs. Now, I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm just saying we have them. See, I try to go down the middle. My favorite comics throughout history were the Bob Hopes and Johnny Carson, Steve Allen, those kinds of guys throughout history, because they didn't take a side politically. And although I've been a loudmouth and I've been a shock jock and I've done a lot of things, I've had to grow up a little bit. But I learned mostly from Les Paul. And Les was like a father to me. He died a few years back, and he left $100 million,
You're talking about Les Paul of Mary Ford?
Invented the guitar.
Without
cord. Yeah, okay.
Without, without, and without he left course. Me a guitar, but no money. And
that's Les Paul.
Well, he was of the belief, and he grew up with Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong, you know, old timers. He said, you know, you got to earn your own way. And he says, if anybody gives you something, you're not going to appreciate it. He was a very interesting guy. But he showed me how to fall on my ass when I was doing stand-up comedy every week with him at the Iridium and stay in the middle. One week I told a George Bush joke, and he said, why did you do that? And I said, well, you're a Republican, so you don't want to hear it. He says, that's got nothing to do with it. He says, nobody knows I'm Republican. He says, I don't tell anybody what I am. And why are you splitting the audience? You're giving one side hates him and the other side loves him. What are you doing that for? Shut up. Tell another joke. And boy, did I learn. You know, I'm doing the same thing with the medical marijuana. I'm not choosing to promote it. I'm choosing for us to examine what we have and put it on the table, and let's allow people to use their heads.
Yeah, but you're doing it in a very interesting way. You're telling a story.
The story is about my relationship with my daughter. And I get my other daughters completely different than this one, you know. I mean, it's how we, see, there's a couple of things in our society. Whenever you get in trouble, you go to your family. This is a country built on family and science. Those are the two things that shine in the world for us. We make money off of science, and we go back to our families. That's where we come from. That's why we have a hard time with all the terrorism and everything, is our families don't have that. That's why we have it. You know, that's why we don't like it. We don't like anything that we were born into that we think is wrong. And we have to either outgrow it, change it, or live with it. Those are the choices.
You know, there's a side of you that I kind of detect in previous conversations that I'd like to get to for just a moment. We have a couple of minutes left. And that is your spiritual quest. Do you have one?
Sure. I mean, I believe in God.
Can you define it?
Yeah, of course I can. I get on my knees every morning, and it's Jewish people don't get on their knees by practice. But, you know, I was raised Christian, and I get on my knees, and I ask God what he's got in mind for me for the day, and I thank him for having me there another day. I mean, it's simple. It's simple. And then you start a dialogue with God and keep going with the imagination.
Well, you used to have a radio program called The Jewish Hour.
I did, and it was fun until I got caught having it on a Thursday when Jews can listen. Thursday or Friday, they can't listen, and you can get away with a lot of stuff. You know, unless you had a Shabbat boy, you know, the guy turned the radio on.
What was an Italian, Joey Reynolds, raised as a Christian, running a Jewish hour?
Well, because I like lox parmesan.
But one of the
fine. That's a great answer.
No, and I have to say that Joey knows I'm always promoting things because I'm a producer at heart. And one of the finest hours in broadcast, you won an award for it, one of the finest hours in radio ever. It was brilliant. It was sharp. It was funny. And that's Joey Reynolds. Brilliant, sharp, and funny.
Well,
I said it. I put it on the table,
well, thank
Joey.
Thank you for that. But that's not exactly true, but thank you.
Okay. Back to my original question a little while back is, what are you doing now and what are you going to do?
I don't know. I came here because I wanted to be in person rather than on the phone.
Great.
You know, and I'm not a voiceover guy.
And we love to have you.
I wanted to sit across from you and have a talk with two friends who are very good and well-respected. And I wanted to visit with you, and I wanted to get my message across that I think we're in a country now that doesn't respect age, and I think we got to start doing it. And we can. And Mother Teresa said it very well. You begin where you are. And let's begin where we are. Start respecting the elders in this country. We live longer and we're healthier and we're going to be here anyway, damn it. And the fact of the matter is we still have some money and some control. And knock it off. And you know what? I mean, just knock it off. We don't have to be kissing Justin Bieber's pubic hairs. And you don't have to be going after Taylor Swift, who's become a Kennedy. You don't have to follow all this celebrity trail. TMZ is Howard Stern on television. You know, I mean, the Howard Stern radio show. Right. Now, Howard's redeemed himself. You know what? I'm closer to Robin Williams than most people know. And the reason is the helicopter went down on my show in 1986 on NBC Radio, and it was Jane Dornacker, who was one of his best friends. So Robin came to me, and privately, he sent her daughter, who was 12 years old at the time, through college, all through the years without ever telling anybody. He's a very, very generous man. Robin Williams, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Jane died, and tragically, in the middle of my show, you know, went down. But he was always a great giver. And yet he had a drug problem, you know, and he was in the room when John Belushi died and ran away from that at the Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles. The police called him back into it. And in those days, we weren't trying to nail everybody, which we are trying to do now for content, because we are out of stories. Anyway, I'm done with that. I just wanted to mention that Robin Williams is a good person. And I thought Howard Stern saying that he had the worst interview in history and wishes that he were around to say to him he was sorry. I thought that's a press release, and it was done by Howie Mandel. Shouldn't be done by another person, and it's private. So Where's our private side? That's the end of my statement.
And
well, but my question then to you is, will you come back and visit with us on occasion? Because we would love to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm going to get him back. He's coming back.
It's a wonderful compliment. Thank you.
He's coming back.
You know, I love you, and you're great. And you've always been a great journalist. And you know what? I think you and Dan Rather, for different reasons, really should be on CBS television. That's my own opinion.
That's coming. It's coming.
I mean, that's what I think.
Carl Sabatino, we're coming, Joey. I love you.
Well, you got to get rid of Carl.
Rollin Smith. We're back sometime. America
Weekend. Brand like a rock star with Steve Jones. Bryan Adams had a massive streak of 80s rock classics, but his success didn't happen without a little help. Bryan and his songwriting partner Jim Vallance wrote nearly all of those hits together. They also wrote songs for Bonnie Raitt, Joe Cocker, Roger Daltrey, Kiss, Loverboy, Ted Nugent, and Carly Simon. Every great business has people like Jim Vallance, quietly working behind the scenes, helping to facilitate the success of others. Don't let those people go unrecognized in your business. People like Jim Vallance help make you rock. For more ways to make your business rock, visit brandlikearockstar.com.
Get the IRS off your back with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. That's the wall difference. It's easy.
Call 1-800-719-5564.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Want to know an easy way to improve your intuition? Well, who doesn't? And it's possible. Just find a way to trust your hunches. Here's the real world science of it. To explain, how do you tell the sex of a baby chicken? Well, an organized guild, even approved as an occupation by the IRS, the Japanese chicken sexers merely glance at a baby chick and with 99% accuracy can tell if it's a rooster or a hen. It's pure intuition. And they learn it by standing behind master chicken sexers, watching and over time learning to trust their hunches. What's the cheap psychological trick? Trust is key to intuition. The next time you have a feeling or a hunch, you might want to trust it. It protects baby chicks. It can protect you. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.